Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and it is indeed a snowy weekend, and I posted some pictures on Facebook of what it looks like from my 21st floor radio studio here in New York. And the interesting thing about these broadcasts is that through the miracles of modern technology, we send a signal to our main studio, which is in Arlington, Virginia. It's the Radio America studio, and it then rebroadcasts on a delay basis or on a contemporaneous basis all the feed that we send down from New York. So here in New York, we're hard hit. I'm looking at streets that are basically unplowed, people trudging around, slipping and sliding, cars moving very, very tentatively through the unpaved roadways. And we're talking to Washington, D.C. area, the metro area. And there we have our intrepid audio engineer, Al Peterson, who apparently was billeted at a nearby hotel in preparation for this emergency. So, Al, you know, share with us a little bit, what are the conditions like on the ground over there?
Well, hello, Doctor, and pleasure to be on the show today. Well, we've got right outside the network building in Arlington, Virginia, we're looking at 18 inches. That's without the wind drifts. That's without pretty much everything. It's just the snow base as it fell. Anticipation right now is we're looking at another 8 inches to come. Other parts of the country will have, you know, snowfall very deeper, very much more often than this. It's just that the Northeast, when it gets hit like this, it's a heavy, wet snow. It's I'm not going to say it's ill-prepared, but it's always tough when it comes this deep and this fast and this hard.
Well, especially D.C., because there was this paralysis of D.C. a couple of days ago where there was like 1 inch of snow on the ground, and there was like a five-hour traffic jam, everybody trying to get out of the city.
There's a reason for that. You know, they were planning, they were already anticipating the big storm, and as such, the little one got by. Everyone said flurries, flurries. That's all it was going to be. And when it stuck and when it froze, when people drove over it, it caught everyone by surprise. I was already home by then, but
right.
as right now, D.C. and the surrounding areas pretty much in you know, we're hunkered down. We're staying inside. Mass transit, the metro system, trains, buses, all that.
It's all stopped.
They've decided to call it quits until Monday morning. So wherever you are, stay put.
So you're staying in a hotel like a couple of blocks away?
One block away.
Yeah, I what, at the Marriott Hotel there?
No, it's one of the other ones. It's a Holiday Inn, but
Holiday Inn. I stayed at that hotel. Yeah, okay. I mean, it's basically a bed and a room, you know. So what? In getting up this morning, what time did you get up? And then you trudged through snow to get to the studio.
I was up at 6:30 just because I couldn't sleep very much. You know, when you know that you're going to be falling out of bed and going right to work, and what work is going to be like. Fielding phone calls from affiliates and from listeners and from whatever else. It was one of those things you just woke up and it's like, well, I'm up. I may as well stay up. It was a 10-minute walk. It was nothing special, nothing hard. Wind is blowing. We're going to see 35 to 50-mile-an-hour winds out this way, so that's going to be problematic. When the snow is over, we may see branches fall. We may see power outages. It's a strange time in the Northeast and especially in D.C.
Well, thanks for being there for us. I mean, you are intrepid. You know, volunteering, well, you know, it's a job, but you could have bowed out of that because you live far from the radio studio. And, nice of you to bunk over there
and
keep the fires burning.
The alternative was a replay, and we've already heard Go Mets way too many times.
Yeah, right. We don't want to repeat the Go Mets edition of Intelligent Medicine.
We're done with that one.
We're done with that one. That's 2015. Okay, thanks for being there. And let me let our listeners know that we're going to take phone calls 888-302-3684. Indeed, we're live. I mean, how much more live can you be when we give you an actual snow update on this snowy weekend in the Northeast? Before we take phone calls, however, I want to share with you some thoughts on the death of Eagles frontman Glenn Frey. I was a big Eagles fan, you know, being from California, and just a wonderful, wonderful band. I had an opportunity to see them a couple of years ago in Las Vegas, and they are just amazing because here's a bunch of guys, they're a little older, but boy, they're really on their game, and their songs are just really, really a part of how we all grew up. The medical perspective on that, the headline this week, Irving Azoff, who apparently is the manager for Glenn Frey, says Glenn Frey's medication may have played a part in his death. So Irving Azoff says Eagles founding member Glenn Frey had rheumatoid arthritis for more than 15 years. I'm reading from the story here. The death of Eagles co-founder Glenn Frey on Monday at age 67 can be blamed in part on the medications he was taking, so says Eagles manager Irving Azoff. Frey died from rheumatoid arthritis, colitis, and pneumonia, according to the band's website. But Azoff says that the latter two, the colitis and the pneumonia, were caused by medications that he was taking for the inflammatory disorder. So we'll explain how that might happen in just a moment, but I'm quoting from Azoff's statement, the colitis and pneumonia were side effects from all the meds. He died from complications of ulcer and colitis after being treated with drugs for his rheumatoid arthritis, which he had had for over 15 years. Azoff declined to specify the drug in question, saying that he had been counseled by an attorney not to do so. Hey, there may even be some malpractice implications of this. The manager detailed the day-to-day physical difficulties the musician endured. One day his knees would hurt, his hands hurt, and this is a musician, often playing guitar, although he did a lot of, he mostly was a vocalist. So what's up with that? You know, what about, is this for real? And the answer is, indeed, colitis could be a potential consequence of medication that you take long-term for rheumatoid arthritis. It's known that non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medications, especially the prescription ones, they're known to create ulcers in the stomach, that's for sure. But what's less well known is that they may increase the risk for ulcerative colitis because the stomach is the upper GI tract, the colon is the lower GI tract, but you can actually create inflammation and ulceration in the lower intestine from over-reliance on these medications. Okay, so what happens then? You get to ulcerative colitis and rheumatoid arthritis. You may take one of these powerful immunosuppressive medications like Remicade or Humira, and that may set the stage for pneumonia because these, while they suppress the immune response that may stoke the fires of inflammation for rheumatoid arthritis and colitis, they may lower one's resistance to infections. That's well known. I mean, you see these ads for these medications. They say, well, you may get serious infections if you take these medications. So I'm not saying there's no place for these medications, but there's so many natural ways to address rheumatoid arthritis and ulcerative colitis. I do that virtually every week in my office, see patients with these conditions. An anti-inflammatory diet, lots of fish oil, higher levels of vitamin D. Even rheumatologists recognize the need for vitamin D in rheumatoid arthritis. Low-dose naltrexone, which is a prescription medication, but which is a very, very benign way of taming an overactive immune system. Diet modification, a very, very important tool in dealing with inflammatory disorders, eliminating potentially allergenic foods, pro-inflammatory foods, breaking the vicious cycle of inflammation in the intestine. After a book by the same name by Elaine Gotchel, for which I wrote an introduction a few years back. These are important ingredients in how we can deal with these conditions. And yes, there's a big link between the gut and the joints. Absolutely. Patients who have rheumatoid arthritis often have disrupted microbiome. The bacterial contents of their intestine creating a toxic bowel situation, which spills over into systemic circulation and attacks the joints. So these are all important considerations, and I just wish that I'd had an opportunity to help Glenn Frey before he descended on his path towards an early demise, in part hastened by perhaps the medications he was taking. 888-302-3684 is our number. And we got several calls. You know, I guess the snow's got people staying home, and, yeah, not a lot to do. So give us a call. Let's talk to Carol in New Jersey. Hey, how's the snow by you, Carol?
Well, I'm in central Jersey, a little bit inland from the Jersey Shore, and it's coming down heavy. We've got drifts of like 3 to 4 feet. We probably have at least a foot of base.
kind of cozy. You know, you're inside, you're warm, everything's good, right?
Just saw the plow go by.
Got plenty of milk and bread. You know, that's the the store shelves have been stripped all across the Northeast.
Yep, I was there the other day, and it was chaos.
Right. It's Armageddon. Right, it's like the apocalypse. Okay, so what's going on with you, Carol?
I wanted to see what advice you might have before I see an ophthalmologist next week for a problem I've been having with dry eye that bothers me particularly during the night.
Yeah.
I started out using a homeopathic remedy, drops, and that wasn't helping so much.
Similisan eye drops?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that's a homeopathic eye remedy, and it works. It's a mild remedy.
It doesn't bother me during the day, but at night, so I switched over to another traditional kind of brand, and that hasn't really been helping me too much either. I have a humidifier in the bedroom.
Because that's a consideration in the winter, you know, because it's like the Sahara Desert inside in houses because of the heating. So, yeah, that is, you know, it's less likely to occur in the summer when the windows are open and the humidity is high.
But I wanted to find out what you think he's going to prescribe and, what I should say no to or yes to. I know they talk a lot about, you know, these ads for Restasis.
He's very likely to prescribe Restasis. Restasis is actually interesting because it, you know, we were just talking about immunosuppressive medications. It is an immunosuppressive medication. It's actually used when taken as a pill orally to prevent organ rejection in patients who've received kidney or liver transplants. So it's a very powerful immunosuppressive drug. They put it in drop form, put it in the eyes, and it seems to reduce inflammation. But it does increase the risk for eye infections and even herpetic infections of the eye, which has me kind of concerned. I consider it a last resort for eye problems, and I think there are a lot of other things you can do, you know. So it's not a bad idea to get checked because you may have a corneal abrasion or you may have some trouble at night with closing your eyes. Some people, have their eyes slightly open at night because of some muscular relaxation, and that causes the eyes to dry out. And sometimes that involves like putting an eye patch on or taping the eyes briefly until things heal with some non-adhesive tape. The natural treatment for this involves essential fatty acids, especially omega-3 fatty acids, lots of fish oil, maybe 4 fish oil, up to 6 fish oil capsules a day for a while. And then borage oil, or GLA. You can also get GLA from primrose oil or from black currant seed oil, but I prefer borage oil as the source. You take a couple of those along with your fish oil. And then perhaps a capsule of mixed tocopherol vitamin E. And I've seen this really work for patients. It may take a month or two for it to kick in, but you're definitely going to see some relief from dry eye. And many scientific studies actually substantiate that. This is not just my anecdotal experience. It really can help.
I take about 2 grams of EPA DHA every day.
What you're missing is maybe the GLA. The GLA might make the difference for you. But make sure you get your eyes checked because there could be a problem. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684 is their number on this a very snowy weekend in the Northeast. We're here. We're live with Intelligent Medicine.
Got glutathione? Probably not as much as you once had. As we age, our glutathione levels drop dramatically, and that is a very big deal. Why? Because glutathione is your body's master antioxidant. It is unique in its ability to repair and rebuild cellular damage caused by free radicals, exposure to environmental toxins, and the aging process. The less glutathione in your body, the more vulnerable you are to health issues. Backed by 20 years of published research, RegActive contains ME3, a patented probiotic proven to naturally stimulate the body's own production of glutathione. RegActive is brought to you by Essential Formulas, renowned for introducing award-winning Dr. O'Hara's probiotics 15 years ago, and meets the criteria of the same high standards and trusted time-proven results. Revolutionary. Remarkable. RegActive. Look for RegActive at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide where Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are sold.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman. On a snowy weekend, not much to do but listen to a program like this. Learn a little bit about health, about nutrition. You can call us 888-302-3684. We will take some of your calls momentarily. But first, this from the Journal of the American Medical Association, a new potential downside of PPIs, proton pump inhibitors. These are powerful acid blockers that were introduced about 15, 20 years ago. Prilosec, Nexium, the purple pill. These are medications that so many Americans take. This class of drug falls only behind the statins in total cost expenditure worldwide. It's estimated at over $11 billion in the USA alone. Okay? That's big, big business. And these medications are hard to get off of. You know, once you're on them, it's almost as if you're hooked because you don't know if you really need them when you experience pain after you go off them, because you could be just suffering from rebound hyperacidity, which is almost universal in people who have taken these medications for a long time. We spent a lot of time and effort getting people off these medications with diet modification and natural therapies using products like DGL and other herbal products. It turns out in a new study, over 10,000 individuals were looked at, and what they found was that there was a substantially higher risk of chronic kidney disease in people taking these drugs. And sometimes that's a coincidence, but it turns out people take these drugs twice a day at an even higher risk, suggesting a dose response effect. So add this to osteoporosis, the higher risk of pneumonia, nutritional deficiencies like B12 and magnesium deficiency, C. difficile diarrhea and other intestinal infections, to the list of problems associated with these medications. Not a good thing. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 888-302-3684 is our number. We'll take some of your calls momentarily on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System. A complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh. Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you on a snowy weekend. And now let's talk to Doreen in Connecticut. How are you?
Hello.
Hi, Doreen. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Are you snowed in up there?
Not even a snowflake.
It's funny because it's Connecticut, which usually gets hammered by snow, is strangely outside the snow belt.
Yes.
So wow.
Mostly in the southern part of the state and
okay.
central. So
okay.
anyway.
Yeah.
My reason for calling is that I've used Advanced Brain Sharp for several years and liked the product very much.
Good. Yeah, that's a product that I developed in conjunction with the Vitamin Shoppe as part of our MD Select collaboration, which is now over. So the product is probably going to disappear from the shelves.
It has. And I was wondering if you could recommend any other supplements that might provide the same benefits.
Right. Yeah, we ran into this issue at the Hoffman Center where we used to stock the MD Select Brain Sharpe.
Mm-hmm.
For our patients, but you know, when it stopped being produced, we substituted a product called Membrin, M-E-M-B-R-I-N,
okay.
Which has a combination of ingredients similar to Advanced Brain Sharp. I believe it has vinpocetine, and it has phosphatidylserine,
okay.
And ginkgo, and it has a lot of the things that go into a good brain formula.
Mm-hmm.
Lately, we're also stocking Bacopa, which is... it used to be marketed under the, I don't know, they still make this stuff, Focus Factor.
Okay.
Because it actually helps younger people with focus and attention issues, such as individuals with ADD, but it won't hurt older individuals who are trying to have better memory.
Mm-hmm.
And I would combine that with definitely some omega-3 fatty acids, perhaps something like DHA Select, which is rich in DHA. DHA seems to be more the business end of memory than, you know, just the EPA.
Okay.
And, you know, so those things would be helpful.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, so these are, by the way, a membrane available via drhoffman.com. We've got a website, and if you click on the store, it'll direct you to, and you just put membrane in the search box or scroll down through down to the M's, and you'll see it there. Or, you know, call the Hoffman Center and find out about it. You can talk to our people on during the weekdays. Thank you very much for your call, and thanks for listening. Let's talk to Jill in Middletown, New York. That's a little bit, a little ways up there. Is it already snowing in Middletown?
Yes, we have about 2 inches. That's about it. It's blowing a lot. But
that is so strange. I mean, you guys usually get it worse than we do. Here, the streets are impassable, and you're not that far. I mean, Middletown, just a kind of a short drive from New York, and yet there's not much there.
An hour and a half drive,
Yeah, all right.
Well, so far, so good.
All right. Don't be jealous, because it's a big mess here.
I'm not jealous. I have a friend who has osteoporosis, as I do, and she's seeing a specialist in the city who told her to keep her vitamin D numbers under 40, because otherwise she'll be getting too much calcium.
No. It's amazing how much these doctors don't know about vitamin D. And, you know, this kind of, I have to say, that's sort of what they taught us in medical school and when I was in med school in the 80s, that vitamin D was potentially very dangerous, that you had to limit your intake because it would cause massive accumulation of calcium, high blood calcium, deposits of calcium in your bones, your joints, your arteries. And there's no recent evidence of this, is that, you know, we sometimes will get patients vitamin D up to 60, 70, 80. Especially when they have, you know, we were talking about the situation of Glenn Frey before. He would have been an ideal candidate for high-dose vitamin D because we know that vitamin D is very helpful in ulcerative colitis and in rheumatoid arthritis. And it's almost universal to see those types of patients with vitamin D deficiency, vitamin D under 20. So, you know, the way that conventional doctors play it with vitamin D is they say, well, if it's over 20, you're good. Well, no. Really, optimally, for bone density, you need it at least 40 and perhaps 60 or 70, and you don't see toxicity until you go over 100. I mean, I've never seen a case of any kind of consequence of vitamin D in a patient whose vitamin D has been less than 100 or 120. Not that we want it to go that high. When we see it going up, you know, 80, 90, we say, okay, back off. You know, it's high enough. You know, you just keep it a comfortable range, you know, 50, 60, 70. That would be good.
Yeah, I've been taking like 7,000 international units for years,
right?
And I can't seem to get it above 37.
That's interesting. Well, you know, there are about four or five reasons for that, and you know, it's a little bit technical to go into them. But some people don't absorb vitamin D very well. Other people may be fighting some kind of inflammatory disorder. Sometimes very hard to get vitamin D up in people who are fighting inflammation. We need really much higher doses. I don't know your medical history, so I can't say. Patients who are overweight, vitamin D is, you know, hard to get up to a certain level because the vitamin D gets sequestered in all that fat and it doesn't remain in the bloodstream. And then there's some people who have vitamin D receptor problems where they just don't, the vitamin D doesn't activate the receptors. There's a variety of ways that vitamin D metabolism can go south. And there even may be racial disparities in vitamin D. It may turn out that, according to research, that African Americans who seem to have lower vitamin D, it may be, well, dark skin pigment prevents vitamin D from being formed in the skin. That's part of it. And maybe dark-skinned individuals don't want to spend a lot of time in the sun because they're dark already. Yeah, I get that. But it also may be that they have different carrier proteins for vitamin D in their blood. And so a vitamin D of 30 in an African American may be the equivalent of a vitamin D of 42 or 45 in a Caucasian. You know, there's a lot going on with vitamin D metabolism. But bottom line, what's happening to your bone? Are you suffering from bone loss?
Yes, I am. I've had osteoporosis for some time now.
Right. So, you know, I don't like to go much higher than maybe 7 or 10,000 a day. In patients, just on principle, I think, you know, vitamin D, we want to keep it at a physiological dosage, the dosage that you might get if you're getting daily sun exposure. And that's somewhere around 5,000 to 7,000 a day. A lifeguard on a sunny day might get that amount of vitamin D produced in his or her skin. and older individuals have more trouble doing that in the sun. So you need to look to potentially other nutrients to help your bone density, like strontium, combination of silica, boron, magnesium, all the cofactors for bone development. And another product that we like for bone strengthening is called Austinol. It's a new product that we're using that seems to make a difference for patients with bone loss. So it may not be all about vitamin D. 37 is fine with me if you're, if you're taking 7,000 a day. It's unfortunate you can't get it above 40. But I disagree with your doctor, for sure.
Uh-huh. Okay. Thank you very much, doctor.
Thanks for your call. All right. It gets a little complicated when we talk about vitamin D metabolism. And so here's an item, a caution, to parents of kids who, they don't want to feed milk to their kids because the kids have colic, the kids are allergic, or perhaps they're vegans. Vegans sometimes want to feed their kids a vegan diet, no animal protein. And milk is considered an animal protein. So here's an example, a case study of how this can be hazardous. Child develops scurvy from almond milk-based diet. All right? Now, you might associate scurvy with sailors of times gone by. This is before it was discovered that the addition of citrus fruit to the diet of sailors could stave off this terrible degenerative disease. But there's a case study in the journal Pediatrics who involves an infant who presented to doctors in Spain at 11 months old with tiredness, irritability, failure to thrive. The child was never breastfed. After he developed eczema from a cow's milk-based formula, his doctor recommended that his daily diet be changed to a prepared mixture of almond milk along with some probiotics. All right. Well, I guess this doctor wasn't too knowledgeable because that is not a suitable diet for an infant. The mother tried to feed the child some mashed up fruit and vegetables in addition, which would have complemented the diet, could have given him some vitamin C, but no dice. The kid didn't accept it, subsisted on the almond milk, and then developed scurvy. Here's the problem. Almonds actually may contain enough vitamin C to stave off scurvy, but the industrial processing of almond milk causes vitamin C to lose its activity. So, almond milk, not a perfect substitute for milk, especially for children and infants. That is a potential problem. All right, 888-302-3684 is our number. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We'll take some more of your calls momentarily on this snowy weekend. This is Intelligent Medicine.
A smooth-flowing bloodstream is vital to good health. And one of the keys to maintaining that smooth flow is Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Kyolic accelerates circulation, revitalizes cells, and keeps blood platelets from sticking to each other or to artery and capillary walls. You see, the body produces an amino acid called homocysteine. If left unchecked, high homocysteine levels can become a serious health risk. Today, many health experts believe that homocysteine is more of a risk factor than cholesterol. And Kyolic is the only garlic supplement patented to reduce homocysteine levels, a major risk factor for arteriosclerosis and coronary heart disease. In fact, Kyolic is the only aged garlic extract. So get traffic moving smoothly along all your major arteries. Look for Kyolic. You'll find it where quality nutritional supplements are sold.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife awake.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And Terry is our next caller from Queens, New York. Hey, pretty snowy out there by you, right, Terry?
Yeah, same as Manhattan, I guess. It's getting worse.
If you could listen very carefully in the background, you know, I'm on the 21st floor here, but you can actually hear the clatter of the snow plows outside as they try to clear 2nd and 3rd Avenue.
Well, not yet here. It's pretty silent. We're last on the list usually. So.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, you guys get the short end of the stick out there in Queens. Who cares? You know, but you'll be dug out by 2-0 Wednesday, probably.
Thanks.
So, what's your question,
Doc? I spoke to you about 15 years ago for high cholesterol and high blood pressure, and I wasn't a fish eater, and you recommended flaxseed. So it was a tremendous, tremendous success.
Oh, how so? Explain.
Well, I lost weight. I don't know, because of losing the weight, my blood pressure is 120 over 70.
Great.
And it was 150, 145 over 90, back then. The cholesterol was 255, and it went down to about 190.
Great. And you achieved that with how much of you taking fresh ground flaxseed?
Yes.
And what quantity? Like a pound a day? No, I'm just being facetious. How much do you have to take?
Two ounces a day. I have it in the freezer. I grind it fresh.
So that's a fair amount, and that's maybe a little arduous for some people to contemplate, you know, 2-3 ounces. But, hey, you know, how do you have it? Do you just sprinkle on salads, or what? Do you take it straight
or
mix it in a smoothie?
I hydrate it with half water, half juice.
Right.
Because I won't enjoy it with straight water. I'd like to go with just straight water but to eliminate the sugar, but I do half pomegranate or half grape juice and half water. And
well, you're intrepid. I can't get people to consume that much flaxseed because, I mean, that really is a large amount. Yeah,
delicious.
Good. That works for you. Great, excellent. And you probably have a very healthy prostate, too, because as little as a couple of tablespoons of ground flaxseed is very protective to the prostate. So,
yeah, so far so good, yeah. So far, it's not, you know, I'm old, 65, so yeah. I wake up once a night. Too,
that's par for the course, yeah, no
big deal. I'm happy with that part of it.
Right, yeah.
But I recommended it since then to my wife, and she was going for her breast exams at that point, and a doctor was, no, the hormonal something. I don't remember the answer.
Said don't take flaxseed because of the hormonal thing?
Yes.
Okay, the doctor's wrong. The doctor's wrong. This is the second doctor that's been wrong. The previous doctor, the call was about vitamin D, and the doctor was wrong that, you know, 40 is, anything above 40 is too much. No, actually, we use a product that's a concentrate of flaxseed called Breveil for our women who are concerned about risk of breast cancer, who've had breast cancer, want to prevent a recurrence of breast cancer. It's actually very preventive. And it can only be preventive and not stimulatory of precancerous cells. So I don't understand your doctor's beef. I think it's a misunderstanding of the science. It does have a hormonal effect, but an anti-breast cancer effect.
Every time I tried to recommend it to women, they all backed out like right away. And I'm trying to convince my daughter now, and she has high blood pressure. She's nursing. She has a 9-month-old. Mm-hmm. So I just really want to be certain before I recommend it to her, my daughter.
Oh, it's very, very well documented. And, you know, if you just Google flaxseed breast cancer, you'll see a large number of studies that show that the flax lignans are helpful at reducing the risk of breast cancer. What they do, I mean, this may be a little bit of an oversimplification, but they seem to act as sponges to sop up excess estrogen so that, it turns out that some women are hyperestrogenic, and that may have a stimulatory effect on precancerous cells. And flaxseed tends to reduce that. So very helpful against breast cancer. I have no reservations about prescribing either flaxseed, dietary flaxseed, or a concentrated flaxseed called Breveil for women with breast issues. Very helpful. Okay.
And even in my daughter's case where she's nursing a child.
There's always a precaution when you're nursing a child. But, you know, a little bit of dietary flaxseed should not be a problem. You know, massive amounts like you're consuming, I wouldn't go overboard, you know, in her case. But not so much because of the risk to her, but, you know, because maybe there could be some hormonal influence on the child. Why go there? Why go there? That might be a case where, you know, a little extra caution for pregnant women, women who are nursing, maybe. Okay?
Good. Very good. Right. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for sharing. Interesting story. All right, our nutritional focus this week is on SAMe. SAMe is kind of not that well known as a nutrient, but it's been shown to be effective as a treatment for osteoarthritis. Several studies suggest that SAMe is about as effective as many of the leading anti-inflammatory drugs. So if you have osteoarthritis, as a majority of people over the age of 60 do, consider SAMe. And I'll share some of the data. Double-blind studies involving a total of more than 1,000 participants suggest that SAMe is about as effective as standard anti-inflammatory drugs. There's a double-blind placebo-controlled Italian study, 732 people taking SAMe or naprosyn, standard anti-inflammatory drug. What they found is that SAMe and naprosyn showed about the same level of benefit. So that's pretty cool. Powerful anti-inflammatory drug. Another looked at SAMe compared to piroxicam. SAMe achieved the same degree of pain relief as piroxicam without the side effects. Piroxicam can cause ulcers. It's known to do that. The SAMe-treated individuals maintained their improvement long after the treatment was stopped, whereas those on piroxicam quickly started to hurt again. SAMe is also one of the most studied natural therapies for treating major depression. There's several studies on that. One study found that it may be helpful in patients with major depressive disorder, didn't respond to prescription treatment with an SSRI. And so there's evidence that it might be helpful. Also, fibromyalgia, four double-blind trials have studied the use of SAMe for fibromyalgia. Three of them found it helpful. SAMe may be helpful for liver disease. It may be helpful for Parkinson's disease. However, some caveats, it is an expensive treatment, so there's some concern about the quality of SAMe. SAMe should be enteric-coated because it's broken down in its travel down to the stomach. So often you will find it sold in blister packs, and there's also some issues with dosage. Because SAMe is a costly supplement, and a therapeutic dose of SAMe may be as high as 400 milligrams taken 3 to 4 times per day to achieve a total daily dose of 1,200, 1,600, even 2,400 milligrams per day. And that can be pricey. So try it, and I suggest that patients try it for a month or 6 weeks. That may involve a substantial investment, but it's still worth it because many patients who like it continue to take it for mood, for joint pain, and even for fibromyalgia. But the problem is that in an effort to hit the price point, many manufacturers are offering it at lower potencies, like 200 milligrams a day, and that can cause some potential for disappointment because if you take, you know, the usual is, okay, it's 200 milligrams, we'll take one twice daily. Well, that's 400 milligrams, and that is not likely to achieve the therapeutic dose that is necessary for achieving benefit with SAMe. So, okay, here's another item, and this is a concern because a lot of us like to follow the paleo diet, the low-carb diet. The problem is the quality of meat. So many of us seek out grass-fed meat as preferable to conventional meat. Beef, lamb, or pork. However, in a puzzling development, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the USDA, announced that it would be withdrawing its standard for the grass-fed meat label. They cite the difficulty in their verification program, but if you follow the money trail, I speculate, and I don't know for sure, but maybe, just maybe, it's mainstream meat producers who've said, let's do away with the grass-fed designation because it's going to compete with our products. So check out an action alert at ANH-USA on that subject. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.